So I had this Polygon t-shirt that I've had for many, many years. And unfortunately, after probably, I guess, 7 years of washing it, it has officially died. There are holes all over it, and my wife will no longer let me wear it. It makes me very sad.
I would argue that the Polygon died in April of 2018 when Griffin and I left the site, if we're
Cool.
being honest. But that would be my argument.
That's a neat thing to
Weird.
say.
That's when it actually started to succeed and become profitable.
It's funny, Plan. I never knew you're all about the fucking money.
Do you know my job
drone.
title?
Mine is I. That was why I was creative lead, art, art lead.
Me and Justin were
big
both.
Thinker.
Our titles were ideas guys, and we made $500,000 a month.
Russ, did you say your shirt died?
Yeah, it died. It stopped being a shirt because it had holes in it. And I keep telling her it has three holes in it. That's normal.
I don't think a shirt stops being a shirt until it no longer has the fabric required to suspend around your body.
It definitely had that. It was just like minor various
Even
holes.
Then, you could make it a belt. I think a shirt can't ever not be a shirt.
Or like a sash.
Where's the diagnosis here? Like, at what point did y'all decide, dead, the shirt's dead now?
Well, it wasn't y'all. It was Alex, my wife. She
well, I didn't
decided.
Want to
I would have kept it rolling. I would have rolled those dice for a few more years. It's basically, I would say, above a dime or larger sized hole in it justifies death. And it needs to be in, like, you know, potential nipple
a
area.
A critical area. Yeah, sure, yeah. Sure. Belly button zone.
I used to get little holes in my t-shirts around the bottom middle, right around where the belt buckle is. And I read on the internet that you get that because the fabric rubs against the belt buckle constantly and just like wears little holes. So now at this point in my life, I am a 39-year-old man who is wearing elastic belts every day. I only wear elastic belts.
Just for that purpose?
I won't show you, but just, yeah, because I don't want to get holes in my fucking great t-shirts again. You know, in my house, Russ, t-shirts don't die. They just become staining rags.
Oh.
Have you considered that?
Oh, God, we're back to woodworking again, huh? It all comes back.
My name is Justin McElroy, and I know the best game of the week.
My name is Griffin McElroy, and I know the best game of the week.
My name is Chris Plant, and I know the best game of the week.
My name is Russ Frostick, and I'm going to be very erudite about this game.
Oh, no. We've been Freaky Friday here on the Besties. Griffin and I are interchangeable, so he didn't notice. Chris Plant, Russ Frostick, and Swap. This is the Besties, where we talk about the latest and greatest in home interactive entertainment. Let that settle
Let's
in.
Explore
I'm so
that.
Excited. Let's explore that. I'm so excited to be talking about video games today. Folks, I've been looking over my nephew's shoulder recently at these things, and these video games have come a long way since Pac-Man. Chris, what game that is a significant advancement over Pac-Man are we talking about today?
Friends, let me regale you. This week we are talking about Fall Guys Ultimate Knockdown. It has a title that is longer than Fall Guys, I found out when I checked its Wikipedia page. It is developed by Mediatonic, published by Austin Locals, Devolver Digital. It's available on Windows and PS4, and if you subscribe to PSN, you can download it for free. Here's how the game works. It is a battle royale in which up to 60 players compete in mini games that gradually thin the ranks. It resembles TV shows like Wipeout and Takeshi's Castle.
Are you just reading the Wikipedia page?
No, I wrote this ahead of time.
Okay.
Because I come prepared, because I'm trying to keep it concise.
Just
and
making
not get
sure.
Steamrolled by Bizarro me, Russ Frushti.
And how's that going for you?
How's it going?
Yeah.
Getting the thing out very quickly?
Yeah.
It was going great until everybody joined in on the fun.
Keep going.
Players race to a finish line. They try to survive on a long platform. Big, giant beam. Batten them off into giant pink goo. Maybe they play a game of tag, which is the worst mini game in the game. You're a little lump of clay. You dress up on mascot uniforms. You can jump. You can dive. You can grab. Kind of feels like Gang Beast. That's the entire thing. There it is. Boom. I did it. I made it through my Google Doc. I hope you're all happy.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I feel defeated because of you.
Wow.
Which is not a great sort of feeling to have.
Wow.
Wow. We are going to get into this. We're going to talk about it, this game, and a lot more. But first, we're going to take a quick break. Fall Guys. Welcome back.
We did it.
Fall Guys.
It's a bold idea, and I don't know why nobody has thought of it before, of what if a Battle Royale game, but it was fun to play, and it didn't make you feel bad most of the time, or it didn't make you feel like you're... it didn't suspend you in states of just like running for a half an hour away from some sort of electric encroaching wall, and it didn't make you feel very, very scared constantly that somebody was going to come in your life. But instead, you just kind of tumble around and fumble and jumble, and you bumble with 59 friends, and then if you lose, it's like, who cares? Except for the times where you care a great deal because it's fucking infuriating.
Yeah. I mean, I love this game until I hate this game. That is the story of Fall Guys for me. I thought I just simply loved it all the time because, wow, how goofy and funny. And there's kind of a lot of luck in the game. And, you know, it's all good fun until you actually approach being the number one Fall Guy and somebody grabs you at the finish line and throws you into a vat of goo for no reason other than to make your life miserable.
Have you gotten that far? Have you gotten, like, has anyone won here? Yet.
No.
Nope.
I have not. I have come in a true to my like PUBG status. I think I won solo games of PUBG twice, and I played that game for an unconscionable amount of time. but I got a lot of seconds. Yeah. And I've claimed a lot of second prizes here on Fall Guy, which is you're fired, which is a real shame. But yeah, I've made it to that final round a lot and just cannot seem to clinch it.
Yeah, the closest I got was I got to the final round, and it was like the round was like I had to chase a tail. There was one tail among six people, and whoever had the tail at the end won. And that just seems so, like, I get running to a crown. That, like, is, I've had those rounds too where it's like very exciting. I'm going to run to this crown. But just who has the tail? That's not skill. That's just who has the tail.
We have spiraled out of control, I feel like, instantly. In case you have never watched Wipeout or Takeshi's Castle, is that right?
I think, yeah.
Yeah. The
Most Extreme Elimination Challenge?
Most Extreme Elimination Challenge is what it was called when it was brought to the States on Spike and made, like, super racist. But the mini games are essentially like slapstick obstacle courses for the most part. There's Slime Climb, where you're going up the aggro crag, essentially, and the first, you know, they whittle down the list of people. So each round, you know, there may be 48 people competing, but only 30 slots. So you can finish the first 30 to finish, make it through to the next round. The others are booted.
I was going to say, what was that game show that Xbox ended up getting the rights to?
One versus 100.
One versus 100. That's what it feels like per round. Like there's a literal like
kind of
people getting knocked out, like visual it's, between the rounds.
It couldn't. Yeah, I guess between rounds, that's fair. There is a sense of like other people have stopped playing. It was a big crowd, and then other people stopped playing. I don't enjoy this game. And let me say up front that like this is not the sort of game that would typically appeal to me. I tend to be really into like advancement in games and narrative in games. So it's very much not for me, which is fine. That's great. The thing, but I played a lot of it because I wanted to understand, you know, I wanted to know like, what is it that I'm not clicking with here? And I would say that the big problem for me is I find the early, so when you start out, there's like 60 people and it is a stampede.
Yeah.
It is a huge rush of people trying to get from A to B through these gaps. And I found that what was really putting me off was more the feeling of being in a big crowd and not being able to make any headway. I actually found kind of like claustrophobic in a pretty unpleasant way. Like, I don't like the sensation of everybody's trying to get through one door and everybody's getting past me, and like, it feels bad. Yeah. Like, it felt bad to play. Once you're past that group, which is the one sort of, you know, tier, I would say there's like different tiers depending on the size of group that's mm-hmm. left. Once you're past that initial tier, I started to enjoy the games more. There's like, for instance, a game where there's two giant soccer balls on the field, and you're on two teams and you're trying to like work together to knock your soccer ball, you know, soccer balls into their goal. And at that scale, I started to enjoy this a lot more. Because it's like a bit more meaningful, and there's a bit more thought going into it, and it's not just a rush of people. And I started to enjoy those more. The problem I have is that you always have to go through that initial rush of people, and sometimes like you don't even make it through that because it's very, like you said, very luck dependent. Yeah. I did appreciate that by and large, it was easy to get back into a game after I'd been knocked out at that level. But I don't know, the sense of like having a big crush of people and trying to get past them was just not, I found really,
it's funny that you had issue, because I kind of had the reverse issue to a certain extent. The first round is a crapshoot. You know, the rounds are like you running for like multiple very small doors, and as you said, there's this crush of people, and sometimes you get through and sometimes you don't, and sometimes that has nothing to do with your skill or how you played. The first round is, I would say, a dice roll more than anything else, and there's something like very low stakes about that, that like I sort of like, when I lose those first rounds, I'm like, yeah, I mean, it was funny to look at, it wasn't like, I don't feel like I screwed up, so like that was fine to me. It was more the later rounds, specifically the team rounds that you talked about. And I had a really good match of that soccer game as well, where it was back and forth and really intense. But I've also had team rounds where like I feel like I did so well and I scored all sorts of points and crushed it, but my team absolutely shit the bed. And losing in those rounds is like, fuck, that is terrible. And something that I think they honestly will change very quickly, because the team arbitrary, like you have no communication. There's no way to talk to anyone else, which is a good thing, but it also means like you losing has no, like you did nothing to lose or win those matches.
I would push back against the idea of it being like especially random in the early rounds, especially because I feel like the first round is almost always an obstacle course of some sort. Because there are a lot of, I don't know the exact count of the mini games, but there's a lot of variety. Like you guys are talking about, like the team rounds, the soccer ball rounds. There's like a downhill jam where you're just trying to get your ball down this hill as fast as possible, but you can run over and, you know, knock around your opponents and try and get in their way. There's this memory game where they flash these different like fruits on the tiles on the ground, and you have to memorize like which fruit is where, because then one of the fruits will be safe and everybody has to try and hop on those. There's a lot of variety, but the early rounds are essentially usually obstacle courses, and there is a layer of like map knowledge that is like incredibly valuable. There is a one of the common early maps is there are seesaws, like a series of seesaws that you can run across, and oftentimes you have to sort of chain them one seesaw right into another. But there's like a physics model in this game that can be very punishing if you jump, you know, too high onto a seesaw that's too tilted. You're just going to go right off of it. And I found that I've like learned the like what to look for, like what seesaw not to hop on when it's hit a certain angle. And if you can do that, like I find myself very rarely being eliminated those early rounds, because I know kind of like there's one called Gate Crash where and this is straight from Takeshi's Castle, like there's you know, five doors in front of you, and maybe one or two of them doesn't open, and the others will just smash as you jump through them. And as long as you aren't in the front of the pack of that game, like you'll almost always qualify. Like you don't have to be first in those early rounds. Yeah. So I find like I don't feel like it is that sort of punishing and random early on, because there is like there are sort of tricks and shortcuts and best practices for most of the maps.
Yeah. I love this game, and I'll talk about that more, but I'll also want to go to Griffin's point just to show you how, like, every how the game positions you when you play this game is going to completely shape your experience. So the example that Griffin gave, there's this stage where it's point A to point B and you have to run across all these seesaws. If you routinely start at the beginning of the pack in that stage, great. It's feels very fair. You have to actually use balance. If you start in the back and everybody in front of you has triggered all these seesaws, you're effectively just out of luck from the beginning. You might as well just like turn around and throw yourself off an edge, because it's so much more difficult from literally the starting line to get across that stage. That said, I like it. I like that somebody made a game that is like just fun, that they had the nerve to make a thing that is not particularly well balanced, and I think intentionally so.
It's almost balanced through imbalance.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's like it's balanced because it's shitty. Not
everyone
shitty,
gets,
but like
everyone gets fucked.
Yeah.
Everyone
yeah.
gets fucked sometimes. That's the balance, is like much like life. Everyone just gets boned sometimes.
The other thing that I really love about this game is pretty regularly it's doing things I just feel like I haven't done before in a video game. Which you're lucky if you get like one moment like that. In a game, let alone mm-hmm. many. And then the stuff that sticks out to me is, Justin, I know that you mentioned not liking the surge at the beginning of some of those races, but I don't know. I found it very warm and comforting and human to just be surrounded by all these people who are just clamoring over you and knowing each of them is a real person. And my favorite thing is to let them get a little bit ahead of me, then jump and then dive on top of it and try to just ride the wave.
Like a Jerome Bettis situation.
Yes. The other one that really stuck out to me is it does, I don't know what else to call it other than the Normandy level of like so many video games try to do that, you know, rush the beach while things are flying at you sort of thing, whether it's an actual World War II game or something else. And in this game, there's a stage where you have to climb a hill in these humongous pieces of fruit.
That look like the Fruit Ninja fruits. I don't know if that was intentional or not, but they look exactly like the Fruit
but
Ninja fruits.
But they're like the size of like semi-trucks just hurling down this hill as you try to work your way upwards. And that felt amazing. And it's something that I think this game can do because it has this kind of lo-fi aesthetic. It's able to do things that something with, I don't know, a really fancy visual graphic setting would maybe not be able to pull off, let alone with so many players on the screen. So it's an imperfect game. There's like a million things that you can point out that don't work, but at the same time it almost like defies the kind of critical rubric that I would use for most other things, because I feel like it so intentionally is chill with the things it does not do as well.
Yeah, I do want to mention also, like, I've watched a bit of this on Twitch, and in case you haven't seen, like, it is currently dominating literally every game on Twitch. It's beating Fortnite, it's beating CSGO, all the big ones are being dominated by Fall Guys right now. Part of it is because it is tremendously watchable. Like, it's very easy to parse what you're looking at. Even if you don't play video games, you can see there's this creature, you know, dressed as a milkshake, and he falls off a seesaw, and it's funny. Like, that's a very easy thing to parse. But also, so streamers do this thing where they'll like post how proud they are of how many games in a row of Battle Royale they've won. So they'll have like a streak, 4 wins in a row or something like that at the bottom of their screen. All of the streamers that I've seen right now have been like 0 out of 25. And it's really funny to see like very, very skilled video game players just totally beefing it on various obstacles, because it is genuinely like, you know, there is an element, obviously, there is an element of luck at play. And I think over time, they will probably find ways to not remove it, certainly, but diminish it in somewhat just to make it a little more skill-based. But it's funny right now just to see people like totally not being able to cruise in the way they can like headshot all the guys in Fortnite or whatever.
There's something about making the format digestible that is like my favorite thing about the game. Like, I was on a really bad streak like the first day that I got the game, or maybe the second day, and I was like editing a podcast, and it is like surprisingly a very, very easy game to kind of just like play idly, even though it's like a battle royale, which is historically like the most buttoned up, like you have to be on your shit genre that there is. But just playing it while I was editing and like not really having to I don't know, be all the way in it. There is something like I found myself playing it like all day because it's just, it has a one more time sort of aesthetic to it that like Apex, I feel like, doesn't have, that Fortnite or PUBG. Like, I, even when I lost, even when I came in second as many times as I did, it never felt like soul crushing. Mm-hmm. Which I, for me, is then like the game has its cake and eats it too, because the battle royale genre is such a like obvious, like cool idea. But the problem is that, you know, there's only one winner. So typically 99, or in this case, 59 people feel like shit when they don't win. But I never felt defeated. I never felt like, I'm done. I'm done. I can't after that. I'm done. Which is, I think, a pretty like incredible, like design achievement for Fall Guys.
Well, the games are short, right? Like that mm-hmm. helps. I mean, you can play through, you can make it to the final round in like what, maybe 6 or 7 minutes. Like it,
right.
It's yeah. pretty quick.
Speaking of pretty quick, I think this discussion of Fall Guys should be pretty quick, by which I mean we should begin to wrap it up. And is that because I have a disinterest in it? No. I don't even know why you'd say that.
Justin, what's your favorite costume, real quick?
The wolf mask.
Wow. That's
pretty strange. See a lot of that going around. Yeah. Okay. So that'll do it for us. You get anything else? Any closing thoughts? Y'all want to see more games? They're going to add more games?
That's it.
I feel like
what's got me excited is like, I feel like this is an infinitely expandable like experience. And hopefully, like, it will be, considering how, you know, wildly successful it has been in the first week that it's been out. But it's got a, I would say, a decent chunk of mini games in there, but I also like feel like I have seen all of them at this point. And I just like, I don't know, it doesn't take long. You don't have to play it for very long to start like spinning up your own ideas for like what a good mini game could be. I think they have a lot of runway.
Yeah, I honestly just want solo only. Like, I don't want any team modes. No, thank you. Just solo only, and I'd be thrilled. That's all I want.
I want some fucking guns.
Cool, yeah.
How about it, Fall Guys? You have the guts to give me a gun and break the mold?
And I would love to do Orange Juice Boy dance. I would love to do Orange Juice Boy. I would love to do Backpack Man. Mm-hmm. I would love to do
the Prince Brother.
The Prince Brother dance. Yeah, man. The Neutron
Prince cousin,
dance.
I guess. She's like a duke. Is a prince's cousin a duke? Duke Carlton? Let's take a break. You know, we were talking about how easy it would be to spin up your own Fall Guy minigame. So we thought we'd do a little bit of that just pro bono mm-hmm. right now. Based on other game shows, taking a little snippet from those, a little tweak, and then turn it into a Fall Guys minigame.
Yeah. You know, I'll start it off. One of the things I think that's missing here, you know, in Legends of the Hidden Temple, I don't know if you remember, large adult men would pop out of closets and grab children.
Is there
a way to integrate that in just a smart way that's not like inappropriate?
You're saying larger Fall Guys that grab the small Fall Guys.
That could be good. And there could be a very, 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 very large Fall Guy that quizzes everybody about some like piece of folklore or sort of traditional tale from a certain civilization throughout history.
Chris Blair is clicking the thumbs up emoji. None of us have ever done this in Skype ever. Chris Blair has come from nowhere to silently click the thumbs up reaction to this discussion.
He enjoys that.
It was like a full screen.
He likes it so much he had to
animated
click.
Thumbs
Couldn't
up.
Say it. Private, for not for the show. He just wants us to privately know that this is a good idea.
What else?
Deal or no deal. Briefcases. The Fall Guys are all standing on a briefcase. Some of the briefcases are open to reveal a ladder that lets you climb up, and some of the briefcases just pop open real fast and fling you into nothingness. So it's like a get, like you're guessing as to where you think the good suitcase is to stand on.
So you're integrating just, it's just the suitcase part of Deal or No Deal.
Well, what, you want the Howie Mandel part, you absolute maniac?
Honestly, Howie Mandel has...
Fine, there's a large, bald fall guy in it that
original hates Howie Mandel is some serious fall guy's energy. Howie Mandel blowing up a plastic glove and putting it on his head, that's a fall guy costume.
He was also the voice of Gizmo the Gremlin. So if ever there was a proto fall guy, it's Gizmo.
How many people listening to the show know who Howie Mandel is?
So Bobby's World... Let me start there, because that would be the most applicable to this discussion.
So, I mean, they're going to do Minions at some point. It seems unavoidable, because, hey, come here, come in close. It's your pal Griffin, who doesn't, he's a straight shooter. He doesn't beat around the bush. They're fucking Minions. The Fall Guys is Minions. I'm sure somebody figured out how to put some overalls on them and make them yellow. And this is Minions. This one's Minions. So that's not even a good idea I had. That's I'm seeing like next May the Minions DLC drops when Despicable Me 4 drops in, well, not the home theaters. Okay, this is a $1 billion idea for Nickelodeon. Just literally do put the aggro crag in there, like work with their engineers or whatever and make the aggro crag a level.
That this game feels like, even more than Fortnite, pretty ripe for brand partnerships. You can tell that the brands are already thirsty for it. Like, I think Kentucky Fried Chicken was already begging to get a chicken put into the game on Twitter. Like, they're ready. I would have respected Fall Guys more, honestly, if they had just replied and been like, $3 million, man. Just like, send it to us in unmarked bills.
You know what would be fun is like a double dare. Mm. Like, as long as we're talking about brand partnerships, imagine 20 Fall Guys all jumping into a giant slime-filled waffle trying to find a flag. That'd be dope.
Picking a nose.
Be good. Everybody's climbing in the nose. Yeah, exactly. I'm mad that this isn't even funny. These are just all fucking good ideas that we're giving away for free. You're welcome, Fall Guys, guys. Sheesh. All right, listen. Let's talk about reader mail, because I feel like we're giving away the shop right now, and I hate this feeling of giving away free ideas.
Okay, we got some questions. This one's from Elliot. What are your fave mini games and any least faves? Do you think next season they might remove some of the less liked games like the matching? Do y'all hate the tail game as much as I do, which is a lot?
Yeah, there's multiple tail games, and they're all terrible. It's terrible.
Explain what the tail game is, because we have referenced it.
Yeah, so there's a few variants of it, but the first one that I played was a team-based tail game where there were four teams, and split among those four teams, some people have like raccoon tails, effectively. And the idea is to run around this map if you don't have a tail and try to grab the tails off other people, kind of like a flag football situation, so that your team has the most tails out of all of the teams. And if you have the least tails, you get automatically knocked out. This would be kind of fine if it was just a solo version of it where everyone's like kind of a free for all. And they do have that.
There
later
is
in
that.
The, there is that. Yeah, and that. It happens later. But the team-based version is infuriating because, again, I spent an entire round running around with a tail. I was very proud of myself that I avoided everyone, still got eliminated because the rest of my team was dog shit. So, like, boo on the tail games. I think people have said, I really like the obstacle course. Like, I think the seesaw one is excellent.
Anyone that has, like, an unspoken social contract, like the seesaw one, where if, you know, if 20 people are in a cluster and you're in that cluster and they all jump on one side of the seesaw and you look at the other 19 people like, you guys know how the fuck this is going to go, right? if 20 of us are on one side of a seesaw, we're going to get sent. We're about to eat shit all together. And you guys are, it's just me on the other side of the seesaw. Let me see. Yeah, I don't weigh as much as 19 of you. So, oh, we're all dead. That makes sense. Cool. Thank you. Good job, everybody. Anything like that, like, is so infuriating, but so, like, I don't know. I feel like there is a sociological study that you do, like, five times around, just like, oh, huh, everyone's just fucking lost their minds and wants to lose. Good. Cool.
I do want to mention there's another one that's, there's, like, fake platforms, and you basically, it's like Indiana Jones 3, where there's these, like, invisible platforms, there's these visible platforms, but some of them are hollow or just fall out when you step on them. And you can tell which ones are fake, not by knowing Latin, but by just standing in place and waiting for them to rattle. So you get to these situations where like 16 people are grouped up on the same platform waiting for some indication as to which of the platforms around them are real.
All holding on to each other.
All holding on, and like there's some jostling, and then at the end someone just makes like a last ditch like sprint for life, hoping that they actually land on legit platforms. That one is also excellent.
Yeah, my favorite is there's like a zigzagging hill full of obstacles, and the pink bubblegum slime slowly rises, and if you touch the slime, you're a goner. And especially when you have a ton of people playing it, I don't know, it is maybe Justin's nightmare in terms of claustrophobia or just getting caught in the mess, but having tons of people trying to run up this really narrow zigzag, knowing that if you get left behind, you are going to get swallowed by bubblegum goo, it is so good. It is like that right level of tense where when you cross the finish line, you feel like you accomplished something. Another question for you. This one is from Dan. What other genres do you want to see have a battle royale mode added? I'm going to expand that question. Genres or specific games or franchises?
I've got one.
Yes.
A little game called Spelunky would be really great with 60 people.
That'd be good.
Just jam everyone into this tiny little cave situation. They already have a multiplayer mode. I think it supports up to 4, and it's a lot of fun, but it's very goofy. And I think the only thing that would make it goofier is adding 56 more people.
Yeah, I like that.
God, this is a physical impossibility, I feel like, because of it's the year 2020. But I feel like there could have been a really good rock band, like, instrument like rhythm game amp versus amp battle royale thing that could have existed. Maybe it would have been
maybe the worst one.
Oh, okay, cool.
You
all
said
right.
The craziest possible thing that makes no sense. That's actually a bad idea. There are no bad ideas, but that's a bad idea.
I think it'd be great. I think okay, it wouldn't be 100 people, right? It'd be like, you know, 30 bands.
4.
No. No, it's not local multiplayer. It's like it's an online thing, so it's like band versus band, and there's like solos that you have to shred, and everybody has to shred the same solos.
And it knocks people out. Oh, did Chris Plant thumbed up that one too? He liked it. I like it, David.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah,
it's
thanks.
Good.
Thanks, Russ. I like you, and only you.
I got another question for everybody.
See, let me answer. Sea of Thieves, giant boat, 60 pirates walk the plank with your haters walk the plank in this battle royale.
So from Joshy, with the popularity in mind, how likely is it that we will eventually see a competitive Fall Guys scene like we see competitive Fortnite and Apex? I hope not.
It's there, man.
I don't think
it's there, man.
No, I mean, I agree. I think it's there, and I don't think it's a reach. I realize right now it seems like a total, like, crapshoot, but I think the games, like, even if you started at 12, I think the games kind of work and are immensely watchable. Doing a 60-person thing, as Fortnite has sort of implied, is very messy and not as watchable because you're switching from so many different perspectives. But, like, if it's just 12 people, What? Plant doesn't
Not
like
every
it.
Game needs to be an esport. Just have fun.
I can't tell that you didn't like that idea because there was no emoji to indicate that you didn't.
I did. There was no thumbs down in Skype, so I did a There's real a life crying thumbs
man.
Down.
What about crying man?
Oh, that's good. Thank you. There is a crying person.
The only, like, esport I ever really, like, got into and, like, watched a decent amount of was PUBG, especially around, like, the big events, like the big tournaments and, like, worldwide events and stuff back when those were a thing that still happened. This game is watchable because it's like silly and nonstop and there's very little lull, but there is something to be said about that lull lending itself to like wild amounts of tension, and that being like the thing that kept me watching, like seeing a very, very tense firefight between two teams. The tension there is what made it so enjoyable, and that just simply does not exist, I feel like, in Fall Guys. There is no tension. I never, ever, ever spectate. Like, if I get knocked out, I'm done. I don't give a shit, like, what the rest of the round looks like, because I don't find it I think it's a super fun game to play, and it is very digestible to play, and I do not think it is very fun to watch. But, you know, apparently I'm in the minority because it's so, so, so huge on Twitch.
Mm-hmm. Look, can we talk about other games? Anything else anybody else is playing?
I'm still playing Terraria because of fucking Rust Fresh.
Yeah, yeah. Dig those blocks, Griffin.
That's wild, man. It's a good ass game. I get it now.
Yeah,
it's a good ass 9-year-old game.
It is. Yeah, it's very cool. It is like a legit RPG. People sort of don't realize it because it doesn't show its hand very well or early. But once you get into it, it is like a legit RPG.
Russ, you've been playing CrossCode, which I think is on the Switch, I'm assuming.
Okay, so we've talked about CrossCode a few times, and always whenever we talk about it, we're like, well, it's broken now. Don't play it. It's broken. So they did release a patch, and I've been playing it. And while it's not, it doesn't run as well as the game should run because the game is a 2D, like, looks like Zelda NES, SNES game. So it doesn't run completely smooth, but it's smooth enough, and they removed like the bigger issues like crashing and like the fact that you had to wait 5 seconds for the menu to load.
That's all I cared about. Yeah,
yeah, so that rough stuff is out of the way. And honestly, the first like few hours of that game didn't grab me because I was like, they just throw so many story things and mechanics at you, and I was just super overwhelmed. Last night I was playing, and it finally started to like, oh, I know where to look to like, where to look for quest information and like how to complete these things and what these random ass items I'm picking up have any purpose for. And it's sort of like the Matrix just fell in front of me. And then I was able to appreciate things like, because it's a game that is set in a video game, it's like an imaginary MMO effectively. They, you know, the writing sort of plays this up where you're, you know, talking with people and they're all like, yeah, when's that patch going to come out? Which is surprisingly meta. And funny and not something you see all the time. So I don't know. I kind of really dug it.
Yeah, I'm still sticking with it. It's weird. It's a weird Trojan horse where it kind of makes it seem at the outset like it's going to be sort of a meta commentary on MMOs. And then you discover that it is actually just kind of replicating a lot of MMO stuff, like especially in like a quest design. There's a lot of like, go kill 4 of these things. And then come back to me. But it's still interesting. I think it's cool. And there's actually some surprisingly good like dungeons and like puzzle mm-hmm. solving stuff that you don't necessarily expect. I wanted to give a quick plug for the game that I've been playing the most in the past couple weeks. It's Griftlands, ooh, which as much as I liked Monster Train, this is another deck building roguelike kind of thing that it's by Clay. Yeah. Who did, oh God, Don't Starve and
Mark of the Ninja? Yeah.
Yeah. But Griftlands is so cool. It is a roguelike, so it's different, you know, each time, narrative game where you're a deck building game where you play a grifter, which is just kind of like a, in this world, a grifter is like a someone who takes odd jobs, things that need doing. And you're a grifter who has, and as you proceed through the story, which is different each time you play, and because you can make big different choices, or you know, you run into different people or whatever, as you play through, there are two different modes that you can play. There is battle, which is like deck building where you're playing cards to defeat the other person's cards, you know, and you have your health and you're, you know, attacking and doing damage and all this stuff. But there's also negotiation, which is similar, except you're dismantling, it's much more abstract. You're dismantling parts of someone's argument, and the cards are like rhetoric or asking rapid fire mm-hmm. questions mm-hmm. or being obstinate or hostile or whatever. And you're like using those, and they've gamified the entire negotiation process to where you're like removing some parts of someone's argument. There's negotiations before battles where you're like trying to eliminate parts of someone's faith in something. So you're trying to like erode their confidence before the battle. And there's different tacks you can take for each one. And then each of the grifters have very different mechanics. For there's like three different ones, I think, currently. You start off with a grifter named Sal. The one I have right now that I'm doing a run with is named Rook. And Rook's big thing is in negotiations, he's got a coin that he flips, and it has whether it's heads or snails, it has a different effect on the cards that you have. There's some cards that are more powerful if you have a heads up. There's some cards that are better if you have a snails up. You can get cards that let you rig the systems. There's one other thing that I have to talk about. It's got a really, really great system for relationships. When you make choices, it's a self-contained world, right? And when you play through, there's maybe, I don't know, 40, 50 people in your story. When you make a decision, like you make a decision to like work with somebody or turn against somebody or attack somebody or not, you can get them to like you, which will make things a little easier. You'll become friends. You can get them to love you, which will actually give you a like permanent boost. You can also get them to hate you, in which case you'll get a permanent negative thing. So their hatred of you is like a permanent concrete gameplay thing where they're like in negotiations, they'll say something negative about you and that will be added to your enemy's like repertoire of things because they've heard bad shit about you from this other person. Which is like so cool and smart. And you can, but when you beat someone in battle, you have the option to let them surrender or to kill them. And if you kill them, their hatred negative thing goes away. Because if they're dead, they can't hate you. So there's like, you're having to run a calculus pretty frequently of like, well, if I just kill this guy, the hatred he has for me is not going to continue to affect me. But if you kill them, they may have a friend that will hate you as a result of that. There's so much going on. It's so cool. Every run feels very neat. I've done like four or five runs with each of the first two characters. I haven't unlocked the third yet.
What's it on?
But if you like those kind of deck building, it's on PC, I think, right now. But if you like that kind of deck building thing, if like Monster Train, Slay of the Spire, that kind of stuff, I think you will really, really dig Griftlands. I want you guys to play it.
Shank. It's called Shank. Oh, Shank 1 and 2.
Thank you, Shank.
That's the game that we were thinking about.
Shank.
Quickly. Blazeball is on a hiatus for a week, maybe 2 weeks, which is a perfect time for you to learn more about Blazeball. I know I spoke about it last week, but Blazeball really is a story, and you can learn that story by reading the Blazeball wiki. I also just think this is great that they took a break. Like, this game is not made by a lot of people, and it was hitting this kind of frenzy, and rather than make everybody crunch and take something that I assume was, like, fun for these creators, they, like, put it on pause and are figuring it out and making sure that the servers work and figuring out whatever the hell they want to do with the game. So I think, you know, the commissioner of Blazeball is doing a great job. And I think now is like a great time to learn about it. That way, when it does restart, you can hop on. Because honestly, for me, it will unquestionably be one of my favorite games this year. I think it is just endlessly fascinating. And again, like, you can find that on your browser. Just Google Blazeball. Actually, don't Google Blazeball, because if you Google Blazeball, what will happen is it will assume you mean baseball. So actually just go to Blazeball.com. That is baseball with an L after the B, the first B. Two L's after the second B. You know what I mean.
It's an A. Yeah. Anyway, what are we doing next week?
What are we doing next week? We're doing Rogue Legacy 2. Which is going to be available in early access on Steam. And
yeah, it's actually early access on August 18th. So you will be able to follow along with us. That episode's going to be released on August 21st. So you'll have some experience with the game, and you could offer questions or thoughts. Where, Chris Plant?
You can do that on Twitter at the Besties Pod. And here's what I recommend you also do, because that's not going to be a ton of time to play that game. Go back, play Rogue Legacy. Go back, play some other rogue likes, and shoot us some questions that you have about that genre over at Twitter. Because, y'all, it is going to be a time for this genre. Not only do we have Rogue Legacy 2, we have the full release of Noita, we have Spelunky 2 coming in, a month almost? Oh, wow.
You're kidding me.
Justin just icing me with the board look. I'm sorry that we're talking about good games.
Spurclunky, more like.
Oh, Justin, you could take another break for that episode.
What I missed last time?
I don't remember.
Good. Must have been choice app without the J man.
Oh, it was bad. It was good mechanics and bad games. Mm-hmm. But don't worry, I talked about Dark Sector for you. I did a great Justin impression.
Thank you.
People loved it.
Justin, thank where you. Can people listen to the show?
Besties.fan. Boy.
Wow.
Not Besties out fanboy.
That's different.
That's our fan site. No, besties.fan will give you the link where you can follow and listen for free on Spotify. Mail at besties.fan is our email address. And please share the show and let people know that we're talking about video games over here, because if no one's listening, it's just me talking to these guys for no reason. And that's very pleasant, but it's also kind of sad. So please share besties.fan with anyone that you think enjoys a video game from time to time. Well, that's going to do it for us. So be sure to join us again next week on the Besties, because shouldn't the world's best friends pick the world's best games?
It's a Spotify original podcast in association with Vox Media. The show is edited by Jelani Carter and produced by Ben Hosley. And our theme song is by Ian Dorsch.
Besties!